This morning's public reading comes from John chapter 5. We've so far completed the first four chapters of the Gospel of John. And here this morning, we're going to be reading down to verse 18 for now. Verses 1 to 18, this is God's Word. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, this is in accordance with Leviticus chapter 23. There were certain feasts during the year that rotated every year, like our holidays would be rotating. But there were three out of the seven holidays that every Jewish male over the age of 20, I believe, was required to assemble in Jerusalem at that time: Passover, Pentecost, and the Day of Atonement. Those three out of the seven feasts. Every Jewish male. So if you lived outside of Judea, that meant that you had to book passage on a ship, or if you were close enough, maybe by animal power or by cart, whatever, you had to assemble in Jerusalem. Jesus, under the law of Moses, is in obedience to God's word. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these laid a great multitude of impotent folk, blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. Now, unfortunately, in your modern English translations, this portion of John chapter 5 about the angel troubling the water and whoever got into that pool was immediately healed has been sponged away or called into question because much older and much supposed better manuscripts don't contain this account of the angel troubling the word. Well, we will leave those experts in the dark, and we will believe what our Bible tells us. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. So this man has been sick 38 long years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, quote, "Wilt thou be made whole?" Unquote. So notice Jesus comes upon this poor man. He's at the pool, eagerly waiting for the troubling of the water, but he has a problem. The impotent man answered him, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me." So this man apparently was impotent. He could not walk. He was simply laid in that area, hoping that when the waters were troubled. Now notice, he's telling Jesus the water gets troubled. John tells us what was causing the trouble in the angel. So that's why we don't kick out this portion of God's word. To do so would cause a unnecessary gap in the account. He has no one to help him get in. Jesus saith unto him, "Rise, take up thy bed, and walk." So according to Jesus, we're going to bypass the pool, and I'm going to take over the situation. I'm going to be the one who's going to trouble everything by healing you on the spot. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Now that's the kicker of chapter 5. Everybody would have been happy clappy if Jesus had done this miracle on any other day of the week except the Sabbath. And there are times when it seems that our Lord went out of his way to purposely heal on the Sabbath to create the controversy. Verse 10. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, "It is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed." He answered them, "He that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk." Then asked they him, "What man is that which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk?" Now notice, no sense of joy, no sense of thanksgiving, no sense of praise the Lord, nothing. These guys go right for the jugular in their thinking. Today is the Sabbath. You're walking, carrying your little mat that you laid on. That's considered work. And to work on the Sabbath is a no-no. The man says, well, the guy that healed me, he told me to go home. Who is he who told you to get up, be healed, walk, and go home? Notice, where's the Thanksgiving on their part? Where's the hallelujahs? Where's the palm branches being taken off? Why didn't they follow this man with the palm branches and just have a sing-song all the way to his home? None of it. They want to know who broke the Sabbath. And he said, and he that had was healed wist not who he was, for Jesus had covered himself away, a multitude being in that place. So after Jesus heals the man, he walks away, out of sight, out of mind. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple. So all this occurred in that big courtyard. Said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon thee. The man departed. Now notice, he's still walking. He's happy. He's joyful. And told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews love on Jesus? No. They persecuted Jesus. Sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, my Father worketh, hitherto I work. Ooh, what a bold declaration. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, now get this, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Please be seated, and may God choose to bless his word. Now, we have experts today running around. Some of them are behind our pulpits and some of our churches. And the word church I use quite loosely. Then there are those in our Bible college and in our seminaries. And then you have these real experts that you find on social media that tell us nowhere did Jesus ever acknowledge divinity. He never acknowledged him being God. Well, beloved, we have it screaming off of our page. Okay? When Jesus was confronted in verses 14 and 15, when the Jews who ought to have been rejoicing and feeling happy for this poor soul who for over 3 decades was unable to walk, he's laying by this pool of Bethesda, which they have actually archaeological have found. They found said pool of Bethesda. We even have a hospital named after that because of its healing abilities to help people with their illnesses. But besides that, these people here are plotting to get rid of Jesus. And when apparently Jesus is confronted in verse 17, Jesus answered them, my Father worketh, hitherto I work. Now for our experts, those who claim to be wiser than you and I, just don't know what Jesus was saying. But fortunately for us, and also with John and the Holy Spirit, verse 18 clears up any doubt in our mind. The Jews sought the more to extinguish him because he not only broke the Sabbath. Now let's stop and think. In their eyes, Jesus broke the Sabbath. And the way they interpreted the Sabbath over generation to generation, where they tacked on all additional stipulations to the Sabbath, where the Sabbath was supposed to be a day of rest, they made it into a day of controversy with one another. Jesus here is not correcting, he's not abolishing the Sabbath, as some experts teach. He is correcting the misinterpretations and the misuses of the Sabbath by the Jewish leaders. Okay, let's get that right out of the gate. In their eyes, Jesus broke the Sabbath because he had the man walk a certain distance, which was against their interpretation. But then one step further, but said also that God was his Father, making him equal with God. So that statement in verse 17, that red letter edition Bible that you have, those words, "My Father worketh hitherto, I work also with my Father. I work along with the Father. I do His work. I came here to do His will." That's a term or a confession of divinity. To all you experts who say otherwise, Jesus on numerous occasions confessed His divinity. You, unfortunately, are too blind to see it, or you are willingly blind because you don't want to see it. That's your problem. Okay. As I mentioned earlier, back in verse 1, this was one of those annual festivals where all the Jewish men at a certain age were to converge upon Jerusalem. And at times, Josephus tells us, the city and the surrounding parts of Jerusalem would be bulging over 1 million people at that time. I imagine the souvenir shops must have made a killing, let alone the restaurants. So there's Jesus. And we're being told there in verse 14, afterward Jesus findeth him in the temple. So we go from the pool of Bethesda, now we're in the temple complex, the outside courtyard. That man there's walking around, maybe he's introducing himself to friends and family who now see, what in the world's going on? Why are you walking? We just got done laying you by the pool waiting for the angel to trouble the water. Jesus healed me. Who? Don't you realize it's the Sabbath? You ought not to be walking all of this distance from one place to another. And so Jesus finds him in the temple complex. Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And then notice verse 16. From that point, the Jews began to persecute him and hound him, as we shall see what's going to transpire in the rest of John chapter 5. This is simply setting the stage of what will occur in chapter 5. And so now they begin to persecute Jesus. Now, notice how religious people respond to the truth as I close out this little exposition. When you read all the four Gospels and you put it together, whenever Jesus performed a miracle, it was the common people who rejoiced with him. It was the common people who were astonished at his power. But isn't it amazing that the religious leaders, the people who should have known better, the people who claimed that they had a good handle of the Old Testament scriptures, these were the leaders of the people. It was their responsibility to expound to them the meaning of God's word, like you see in Ezra, as you see in Nehemiah chapters 8 and 9. Whenever Nehemiah and Ezra were working together, reading the scriptures, the Bible says they gave the sense. They caused the people to understand what God has written down. That was the responsibility of the Sanhedrin, that religious council, and they failed miserably. Isn't it amazing? It was those people who thought themselves more religious than the common folk when Jesus came into their life versus accepting life and light from him. They wanted to extinguish life and light. And there's nothing different today in people who are very religious. Oh, beloved, we have people, they're so religious, in some respects, they make the average Christian look sick with their devotions. But they are totally wrong. Matter of fact, the worst person to share the gospel with is not the atheist or the agnostic. It's a religiously minded person who's following a dead religion. Beloved, that person there is truly a hard nut to crack. But God can crack that nut open, wide open. So we're going to call this the healing at the pool. The healing at the pool. And that sets the groundwork for the conflict and the clash that will be expounded here in John chapter 5. May God choose to bless his word. Amen.